Who licking on shit?
It's Skype
That's
cast.
Me.
Ooh, you, what are you licking doing? On cocktail weenies.
Yeah. Again? Jesus,
no.
Dude. Every fucking Saturday.
You believe everything Austin says?
No, I believe what I heard last week.
If I believe
last
off a bridge,
week was true.
If I believe off a bridge, would you believe that too? No.
What?
What?
Huh? Mm.
Welcome to episode 96 of the Try Games at Net podcast, where we believe in bridges. I have no idea what that means. Whoa, ouch. That's going to definitely have to be edited down, because that hurt my ears.
Maybe not. Gah.
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 Gah. Spelled G-H-E-Y.
Exactly, or
U-G-Y.
Gah, guys.
Hey. We're back. That was a Jeff Green impersonation for anybody who listens to Jeff Green. We are at Saturday. That means that it's the weekend. And by the time you hear this, you'll be trudging your sorry asses to work on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or whenever I get this thing up. But as usual, I'm here with a cast of people. Now, this cast does not consist of the Slunks, who is getting an oil change right now in his car. But we do have people. We do have somebody without a car who is here, courtesy of Not Carnus. That's Tony.
I own a bike, and I don't oil it on my body. He's getting an oil change. What
Ooh,
the
that's
hell?
That's sexy. That's
hey,
right.
Guys. Hey, guys. I can't be with you because I'm getting an oil change. Yeah, on my back.
Euphemism for testicular transplant. We are here with someone who does have a car, and his name is Milli Vanilli Alfred.
Hey, you better watch out there.
You're a fraud.
Oh. Exactly. I'm gonna come to both of your houses and murder you in the back, and then and then be happy and leave.
Murder
You're
us,
a phony.
Murder
You're
us in the back.
A phony.
Murder us in the back.
Murder
yeah,
us in the back.
And then leave.
And then leave. Are you gonna have are you gonna impersonate someone murdering us in the back, or are you gonna actually do it?
I'm actually gonna do it.
I don't want him to murder me in the back. not even in the front. Just don't murder me.
This is
there's one easy way out of that.
What's that?
Keep those words out of your mouth, buddy.
Keep your hand out of my pocket.
Get your hand out of my pocket. Sorry.
Objection. But as usual, we will start this chaos off with what we've been playing for this past week of video gameness, and we'll start off with Boney.
Why?
I don't know. That's what the
you
coin
know,
said.
Boney.
Okay, I've been hitting retro, and so I was playing Phantasy Star 4, then I, you know, went to 3, and now I just diminished myself to 2. 2... Lows. I'm sorry, there's a lot of people that are nostalgic about this game. Oh my god, it's got to be the best role-playing game. It sucks. Plain and simple, this is a game that does not stand the test of time. It does not.
That's
too
sad
many,
to hear, because now you have dissuaded me from starting it, so I'm happy for you saving my time.
No, you should concur my agreement. I mean, that's the whole thing. You should play it just to see if I'm right. Okay, but... You know, I encourage everybody to, like, challenge me, but the thing is, I've played this years ago, and now I'm playing it right now. Sucks. Plain and simple, sucks. Options suck. Menu sucks.
Does everybody turn left?
Gameplay blows. No, that's Phantasy Star 3, and it's not left, it's right. And I want to make that correction. You press left, it goes right. You press up, it goes right. Unless there are two tiers of enemies, where if you press up, it actually goes on a second tier. Yay! Wow, something works.
Well, that's a feature that 2 didn't have, therefore 2 must suck.
2 sucks only because...
When you press left, it goes left, and it shouldn't do that. It should go right.
No, that's 3.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have the same feature as 3.
That's why it sucks. No, it sucks because 3 was better.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll let you talk. Because I've never played this game, and now I don't think I ever
and
will.
And I'm not being serious. I'm trying to be facetious. 3 was better, and that's sad. It really is. It's sad. Part 2 is just blowworthy. It's like one of the worst RPGs I've ever played.
So you would give it a blowjob?
Not me, but maybe the people that developed it should blow it. I mean, but the whole thing is, you pick an option.
But that would be doing it a favor.
I don't know. To a game, it's not really a favor.
Everybody likes getting blown.
Would you shut up?
Even games?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Anyway, you pick an option, doesn't remember. You go and buy items, no information about the items.
Wait, Tony.
Yeah.
I actually have with the Game Boy one, mm-hmm. and it probably did come with the Genesis one, a list of all the items and what they did. So what sucks about that is that if you lose that, you're completely lost.
Done deal. Yeah, done deal. By the way, the dungeons were the worst conceived dungeons ever. They have
I agree with that.
They have a bottom view of which you roam around, and to obstruct that, they have a top scrolling view of which it's supposed to run in a kind of like panoramic view,
parallax.
Is it when the foreground, you know,
parallax.
Moves faster, huh?
Parallax.
Okay, so yeah, so the foreground moves faster than the bottom ground, so as to make sure that the pipes you're seeing move around and obstruct your view no matter where you go. And when you're lost, hey, guess what? We're gonna do it again.
Hey, are the dungeons also, like, I wasn't clear on that because I was a little confused, but so the dungeons are still in the, still have some first-person view in it, or is that only Phantasy Star 1?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Top-down view, however, there's a bottom view of which you're standing on, you know, the level, the dungeon of which you're roaming, and on top of that, now get this, on top of that, there's a scrolling myriad of fucking wires or clouds or anything that could obstruct your view. And not only that, after you come out of a battle, you always face down. So you don't know where the fuck you're going.
And wait, can I add to this one? The places are so big. Like I discussed this earlier. Yep. I'm just going to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. The levels themselves are so large, and the space with which you have to walk is so big that you can't really tell where you came from.
Exactly. Especially after a battle, you're facing down, you're like, oh, did I go right? Am I trying to go right? Is there a door here? Where the fuck am I?
use something so that, like, for Genesis, you can't save state, but if you were to, like, save
no,
state.
No, you can't.
Anywhere, like if you're using a virtual console or something like that, you might as well just stop the game and start over from the beginning, because you'd probably wind up dying looking for your way out.
And now here's the thing with this game. You have to go to a town to, like, save your game, okay? And whatever town you save your game in, that's a town. If you want to go back to another town, you cannot choose which town you go to. If you press Ryuka, you go back to the save point of that town. And it may be a town that sucks and is far away. So you have to spend money to get to another place. I'm like, oh my god, this is so fucking stupid.
I just saw a screenshot of what you're talking about with the dungeons, and that looks so fucking annoying.
Yeah, dude, it moves. The top moves in conjunction with the bottom, okay?
Because,
yeah.
But that's because it's supposed to look like
you're underground.
The camera is above the pipes and stuff in the ceiling.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
As you move, it's parallax. The pipes move really fast, and
I understand
it is
the effect,
a
and I like the effect in general. But that's when they use it right. Like
you wouldn't like this in Phantasy Star 3.
Because I'm looking at the screenshot right now. That's what I'm saying. Is that when they do it right, the effect is better. But
have you played Phantasy Star 3?
No, I'm just looking at the screenshot, and it's terrible.
No, I'm saying
over here. They're like, here's a screenshot that I'm looking at. They're obstructing half the fucking screen.
Yep.
That's it. But, like, you know, usually in games like in, I don't know, what's another game that we've played? Like, I think Chrono Trigger, or, you know, other Final Fantasies. Like, they do it right. They have some sparse details that are in there, but they're not really obstructing anything, or they'll make it transparent. This just looks miserable.
Like, I understand if you want to, like, have backgrounds that scroll over the characters. This thing is obtrusive. It is blocking your view, okay?
Right.
And the whole thing
I agree. That looks terrible.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, in Phantasy Star 3, that's underneath your plane view. Okay. You know, so they, this was a bad decision.
So it's part
they
of the background.
Like, oh, well, we have to make it three-dimensional. Let's have something scroll. Yeah, let's put pipes that totally blocks your view. And after a battle, face down. No, it doesn't matter where you were going.
I don't understand
face
that decision.
Down.
I honestly don't understand the decision to make him face down.
Exactly. No, this was, this
like,
was
after every
made.
Battle, blow me.
Yeah, this was poorly made. Great game in its time does not survive translation.
It is not its
into
time
our
now.
Time. Yeah, that's
the time
it.
Is now.
The what?
Nothing. I said the time is now.
The time is now.
You'll have to find out in production.
Yeah.
Al, what you been playing?
Oh, that was all he was playing? Damn.
Oh, I thought it sounded like he was done. Are you done, Tony?
Feel bad for you, man.
Oh, well, yeah, no. I'm done because those are the three games that I played, and part two blows.
4-3-2! Alfred, great. What have you been playing?
I got myself a shiny red PSP this week.
Sweet. God of War!
Been playing God of War Chains of Olympus.
How that? How that?
Starting
how
the game over multiple times. It's great. No. It's so good that I'm like starting the game over just to keep on doing the first stage for different reasons.
Oh, I gotta
like,
buy this.
The first
wow.
time I played on Hero. I mean, yeah, I played on Hero mode. Too easy. So I had started over on Spartan.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Spartan is good. It's like, you know, just hard enough that it's not frustrating.
It's not cheap.
Because like it's not cheap. Like I died a couple of times, but it was only because I haven't really learned the encounters. Like there's some new stuff. Then I started over again because I missed the Gorgon Eye, and I figured out how to do it. So now I'm on that game, and right now I'm in the middle of like the second, I guess, big area. Because it starts out with an attack on Attica by the Persians. And they send this big basilisk to, like, try and destroy everything. And God sends you to dispatch the basilisk. Then after that, some shit happens that I don't want to talk about. Because it's really
sounds
cool.
Sounds fucking awesome.
And you should experience it yourself.
Time to have sex.
Time to have sex. All right. About, Rastafarian.
Yes. Without the hair.
That's
to continue.
It, you?
Wait. I missed something.
Yes, you did.
What happened?
I have no idea. I just started laughing when his impression
was bad. Let's recap.
Just go ahead.
What happened?
I also bought Final Fantasy Tactics, but I haven't opened it yet. I'm probably going to start playing it after I finish God of War at least once. That's pretty much what I've been playing all week. I played some Conan and
what the fuck? I'm sorry.
Tony.
Wife on the rampage. What are you doing?
It's okay. Are you developing a hernia or something back there?
That's her. What the
is
hell?
She developing a hernia or something back there?
Hope. Are you hurting? you know, stop doing what you're doing because you're interrupting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm recording. What?
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Hello. Did she say Mister or Blister?
No, she said listeners and.
Oh, okay. Hello,
oh,
listeners.
The audience. So okay. Now.
The audience. Hello, audience. All right, I'll continue.
Yeah.
Dumb
so,
bitch. Oh, I'm sorry.
played some Conan. And yeah. Tony's still laughing.
It's chaos.
Yeah, she says stupid motherfucker, but that's like love language, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm in heat right now, so. What?
Is that
you're
not because
in
it's
heat.
91 degrees outside?
Oh, zing.
this day sucks. Sorry, Al. Let's go on.
Yeah. I play some Conan again. And I got my character to level 20, so I finished all that single player stuff. And it's really cool at the end. It's pretty crazy. It's like people busting out in the street, fighting and stuff on fire and whatnot. And then I play Grand Theft Auto 3. I just finished playing it a little bit earlier today, and I finally passed Portland Island. So now I'm on the second island.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this game for what, 6 years?
Yeah, it's huge. It really is huge.
Happy birthday, Al.
Thank you.
Guess what? You know where I stopped? When you get to the airport. That's it. Done deal.
Okay.
Can't go further.
Right now, I tried doing this quest, the one right after you get to the island where you gotta kill the mafia boss.
And okay.
I'm trying to find an easy way to do it, and it's just not easy.
Wait till you get to the gambling parts. It's you gotta drive somebody on the roof of the car, and
oh my god,
dumb. Yeah, it's dumb.
No more. God damn it. I don't want to talk about what I've been playing because it was missed for DS.
Ooh, painful. Please speak of your pain.
I had to review it. I actually asked for it because I was interested in seeing, like... Well, it's the DS, and everyone's like, oh, adventure games on DS, it should be a great fit, and I agree. So I'm like, all right, well, they could do some shit like... You could, the touchscreen controls would be kind of interesting. You could... like draw stuff in a notepad to make sure that you remembered them so that you could take it around with you. Because if you're playing Myst on a DS, chances are you're, you know, on a bus maybe or on a road trip in the car or something like that. You may not necessarily have a pen and paper like you did back in the real Myst days. So, yeah, why don't you make a pen and paper simulation on the DS touchscreen? Nope. Instead, all they give you is, like... a typing pad with the touchscreen.
Awesome.
Which is really lame.
The best idea ever.
I mean...
No, seriously, I'm not playing. They should have made millions with that.
Yeah, they actually did not.
The way he said it was so facetious. It's like, best idea ever.
Best idea ever, yeah. But, like, dude, after playing fucking Hotel Dusk and you're allowed to scribble whatever the hell you want.
Right.
And then in this, it's just like, yes,
oh, wait,
you can.
Wait. And what? In Zelda Phantom Hourglass, you can write on the map anything. Like, you
right.
can really just make it your own.
But, yeah, but in this, it's just like, yeah, use this little type keyboard. And the worst part of it is that, of the type keyboard itself, besides the fact that its very existence is stupid. They mashed the entire thing onto the touchscreen, right? So the bottom half of the touchscreen is the keyboard, and the top half of the touchscreen is where your letters are coming out. Why not make the touch keyboard take up the entire lower screen so that it's easier to hit the keys?
Right? And then have the letters come up on the top screen, right?
Yeah.
Well, not even that. If they want to just condense everything on, you know, just one screen, make it accessible. Because... everybody types on, like, a fucking small phone. You could
read
that.
Yeah, but this is different, though. This is different because the touchscreen isn't always necessarily accurate. So, it's a touchscreen.
It's a different animal.
Yeah, it's a touchscreen. It's not like a keypad because, like, when you're talking about a cell phone or like, a BlackBerry or something, at least you know when you press the right button, it clicks. This one, you know, it's a touchpad, so you have to be a little bit more.
Yeah, even with the style, it's inaccurate.
It's not that it's necessarily inaccurate, but the area of touching is so small... It's really easy to make a typo, so it's just like, just make it bigger, you know, or make it at least more legible. Even fucking PictoChat on the DS does the same thing, where they mash the keyboard on the bottom half of the screen, and the right Al, it mashes everything onto one screen because it lets you draw on the notepad.
Yeah, I don't even remember using
But the difference is the keys are much more spaced out and larger. This one is like a like fuck it looks stupid, and they let you take a photograph of something in the environment, which is cool. That let you take only one photograph at a time, of course, but that's kind of okay because that's actually a gimme. Like before, they didn't even let you take any pictures. I guess you'd have to take a screenshot with print screen or something like that if you wanted to cheat your way around it. but the,
oh, so you're taking a picture of a relevant area of
right, like
if
you go up to a wall and you see a clue, you're like, oh shit, well, I don't want to use this janky ass type pad because it's a piece of shit. So right. Let me take a photograph of it. And you can take a photograph of it, and you can take it around with you. And then when you get to the other puzzle area, you can say, okay, let me bring up that photograph and look at the clue. Which, like I said, which is cool because they didn't have that in the original. There was no way to, you know, unless you had a camera back then, you took a Polaroid.
Our memories are that fucked. What the fuck? We are an easy generation. I mean, like, seriously, what the fuck?
Well, no, because Myst had, like, a whole, like, a lot of the things that you take a picture of. Or a lot of the icons that you might have to remember, they're very like they're. Let's say there's one icon is a picture of like three spikes, okay, and then another picture is of three spikes, except the one in the middle is a bit longer. That shit's it's hard to remember like down to that fine detail. So I can understand having a picture being taken, you know.
No, that's different. This game is more like appearance like generated where it. You know, you'll see something different from another screen, and...
I have no idea what you just said, but I'll take
your
word for it.
Are you ripping off tape? What the
No,
hell?
I was ripping up an envelope. I'm sorry.
Oh. No, what I'm saying is, if you go to an area, there's going to be an area of which has significant difference because you can see something and compare it to something else. Is that what is going on here?
No, did you ever play Myst?
No.
So basically, let's say I have to enter a combination, like, except instead of a combination of like numbers, it's a combination of pictures.
Okay.
Right? Instead of like 3, 1, 2, it's like a picture of three spikes and a picture of the setting sun and a picture of a flamingo. Okay. Just for example. Like I was saying, like you would find this clue somewhere scattered around the island somewhere else.
Okay.
Like, and if when you finally knew what to do with it, you're like, oh, okay, now I got to go back and I got to remember exactly what this picture looked like. So when I go back to enter the combination, I enter in the right picture. Okay. Some of these types of clues, like the combination lock that you'd have to open has like a just like any combination lock where you only have to enter in three numbers, but there's a possibility of 100 numbers.
Oh, Jesus.
When you enter in the pictures, there's like 10 pictures you can choose from, but you only need 3 of them, right? And so out of that group of pictures, there might be an icon of like 3 spikes, like I was saying before. And then there also might be a different icon that's like 3 spikes, except one of them is longer than the other.
Right. So you go back
and you're like, oh yeah, I saw 3 spikes. And like when you're cycling through the combination, you're like, oh yeah, I'll just use this one. And then you'll try to open the lock and it won't work. And you're like, why isn't this working? And then you'll trudge all the way back to the other end of the island to get the clue. And you're like, oh, I picked the wrong 3 spike picture because this one has a longer spike.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like the clues that you get versus the amount of, you know, the amount of possibilities that you can see. So
understood.
That's why it's helpful to be able to take a picture of the environment, because unlike in other adventure games, there's no inventory. You don't pick up things, you don't drop things, whatever. It's all just everything that you see, you apply to a puzzle, and that's it. You don't ever pick up any moose hair or lanterns or ropes or cattails or any of that shit. You don't pick up anything. So,
an Indian nickel.
An Indian nickel.
I will use it for this door.
You can pick that up at the end of the game if you enter in a password. No, you can't. But a lot of the game was about its visuals because at the time, that's when the CD-ROM came out. When Myst came out, it was, oh, CD-ROMs. Oh, this new thing for your computer.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, you know what? Let's make this adventure game. We don't quite have the technology to make something immersive in the first person yet. This was way before, like, Quake came out and Doom was out, but it wasn't truly 3D. It was before Quake came out and revolutionized like how 3D was done. So they're like, well, what we can do is we can construct a 3D world. We can take pre-rendered snapshots of this 3D world to make it look like you're looking at it through the first-person view.
Okay.
And then we'll just take multiple snapshots of this world so that it makes it look like when you click on this place, you're moving forward, you're moving to the left, you're moving to the right.
Right, right, right.
So part of the allure of this game was that kind of immersion, that whole, oh my god, it's this really breathtaking looking world with really great graphics and I'm looking at it through the first person. It's like I'm really there. That was part of the allure. So with the DS version, all the graphics are compressed so badly, everything looks like it has pimples.
Oh, dear.
It's like, take Mortal Kombat as it looked in the arcade. uh-huh. and then look at it on Genesis.
No.
That kind of difference.
No.
Multiply it by like 10. And that's the difference. That's the difference
it
that you get.
It can't be that bad. Are
that's
you
the
serious?
Difference that
wow.
you get from the original Myst on PC and the Myst on DS, which is really sad because they came out with an anniversary edition of Myst that went back and said Myst was originally created with 256 colors. Let us go back. Let us take all the art we used to do and reproduce it with 16 million colors, which is 24-bit color. Mm-hmm. And so now when you go to the store and you buy the anniversary edition of Myst, you see an updated version that looks really good because it upped the colors. If you look at the old Myst on PC, which is only 256 colors, it still mm-hmm. looks pretty decent. You can tell it's old, but it still looks pretty nice, and you can tell that, okay, back in the day, this looked really nice. Not so on the DS. It looks really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go to my review and see if I can get the screenshot that I used for it, just so you can see how fucking poor it looks.
You know what? You don't know. I'm going to fucking solidify this point. Look at this picture.
So if anybody wants to see the picture, it's my reviews on GameSpot. It's still in the front page. The screen that I'm referring to specifically is the bottom screenshot. So if you go to that review, it's the second screenshot, and I captioned it, "This gear looked better over 10 years and 100 colors ago." If you just look at it, you can see all the pixels everywhere. It is dithered and pimpled and grainy beyond befucking leaf. It looks horrendous. It looks like a Genesis game is what I'm saying.
Okay. It looks worse than a Genesis game.
You think it looks worse? Wow, that wow.
That's pretty bad, yeah. That's like 16 colors per sprite, yeah.
I mean, if you just look at the screenshots that GameSpot has up, you could see the top screen when you don't click on the map, the top screen just shows a logo of the title screen or of the box art. And it just, oh my God, it looks so poor. Like, you can see the dots everywhere. Go to images and just go to any screenshot and then look at the top screen where it shows a picture of Myst.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 16-bit game. That's it.
No, it's not even 16-bit.
It's an 8-bit color.
This is 8-bit color that's been compressed even
really?
Worse. Because
ooh,
the original
that's terrible.
Game, the original game was 8-bit color, but it looked much better than this. 8-bit color translates into 256 colors on screen at once, basically.
But how many colors per sprite?
I don't know.
Well, this Eight. Isn't a sprite-based, you know, PC
oh, it's
wasn't
not.
A sprite-based
it's like,
system.
It's randomized or...
No,
it's
just
complete.
No,
it's full screen.
Oh, okay.
But because, like, Nintendo and Genesis and whatnot, they were sprite-based machines. But mm-hmm. PC isn't developed like that. They just develop everything. Yeah.
It's just colors
inform
on screen.
Based on colors
yeah.
on screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Inform me.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah.
The hardware isn't limited like Nintendo was.
So okay. if you look at some of the old PC screenshots, you're like, yeah, this is old, but I can understand where it looked really good. This is good looking. This is just kind of like, well, this got ripped straight out of a Genesis. It just looks. It just basically the whole point is like on its own. Okay, maybe you throw it a bone. It's not that bad, but like when you consider that part, one of the strengths of this game is how good it looked, and then you translate it over and you make it look worse in today's day and age for today's audience.
Why do you
audience,
think that was though?
I just think they weren't given enough time, or they just. Weren't really adept at doing a porting job, because I swear to God, the original screens were in a 640 by 480 pixels in resolution. That's how big they were back in the day. The DS mm-hmm. is about half of that, a little bit more maybe, give or take. Maybe mm-hmm. even less, all right? So it has less pixels to deal with, okay? Mm-hmm. So less pixels to deal with means that each picture should take up less space on the memory card. So
understood.
You'd think that, okay, well, since the pictures are smaller anyway, we don't have to sacrifice that much color. We can still keep the colors in. No. And the other part is, well, if it's so compressed now, why don't you offer, like, a higher resolution version of the screen on the top that you can kind of scroll and pan and scan around? No. And so because the screens are shrunk now, all the buttons and switches that you had to press and pull are smaller now, and as a result, like, the sensitive areas on the screen where you could click to make something happen are smaller.
Mm.
So what that means is back in the day, when you're on your PC and you moved your mouse cursor to a button, okay, whenever you're, like any adventure game, when your cursor moves over a significant area, it'll change into like a hand icon or something, or it'll signify any other adventure game. So it did that in the original NIST. This one, first of all, there's no cursor because it's completely stylus based.
Yeah.
But because of that, you can't tell when you're going to be pressing on a sensitive area. In Phoenix Wright, when you were doing all that stuff, they had a cursor for you, and you could click and then you could drag. Okay. At the very least, you could drag, and when you dragged it over a sensitive area, like a little button would pop up that says "Examine," so you know. Oh, okay. Here is where I would need to touch if I wanted to examine something.
Right. Yeah,
no such thing here. You can't click and drag and to find the sensitive area. Once you tap, until the instant that you lift the stylus it'll register where you tapped before, unless it's like a lever that you pull or push or something like that. So you have no idea if you're tapping on something that you're supposed to press or you're tapping on a part of the screen that will make you move to another area.
Now, question. Was this a memory thing?
No. It's not a memory
thing. It's a design thing.
What I'm saying... The way the original MIST works is that... Remember I said all these screens were first person?
Yeah.
So... If you clicked, so basically, you could play the game one-handed. You could play it with Let me finish. Just with the mouse, okay? So, to move forward or to move backwards or to turn, you basically put your mouse into an area of interest. So, if I wanted to move forward towards that clock over there, I would pretty much move the mouse more or less in the center of the screen and then move it a little bit towards that clock, and then I would click, and then the screen would instantly transition to another screenshot, which was further along the road that you were walking down, closer to the clock, and you just keep on clicking towards that clock until the screen's got you there. Okay. And in order to turn left, usually you'd like click the mouse to the left on the left or the right side of the screenshot. And like when you could, the hand icon would change to a finger pointing to the left or pointing to the right, so you knew where you were turning, you know. So it was easy to tell. What I'm saying is in this version, because there's no cursor, sometimes you can't tell if you're able to turn left or right because there's nothing to signify to you to say, hey,
you can turn. I totally understand that. And so you don't know
that you can turn until you click, which is not that bad. Okay, that's fine. But then, you know... Then there are buttons and shit on the screen that you can also click, okay? And in the original version, you could tell between, okay, if I click here, I'm going to turn. If I click here, I'm going to go forward. If I click this, I'm going to press a button because the hand icon would change every time so that you'd know what you're doing. Because there's no hand icon here, you can't tell if you're going to turn left or you're going to click on a fucking button. And
well,
so
why
it's like.
Would there, unless the stylus is like, a battery operated and tunes into the touchpad, but the whole
I should be able to put the stylus on the screen, but then drag it around to see.
Totally understood that. The question I was asking is, are the graphics so bad because of a memory issue?
Oh, the graphics, possibly. They probably felt that they really needed to compress it to fit into the card, but I really honestly think that they could have done it a better way. But yeah, not only is it annoying to like try to find buttons versus sometimes I'd go in circles because I was trying to press a button, but it was telling it was moving me to the left, and it was just putting me around in circles. I'm trying to push this fucking button. Come on. It's exacerbated by the fact that because in the original game, it was a large screenshot, and so when you put the cursor over the button was sizable enough that you could be like, okay, well, my cursor is going to turn into a finger when I hovered over this button.
Right.
When you shrink that screenshot down to fit the DS screen, because the DS screen is naturally smaller, the clickable area also becomes smaller.
Understood. But if it was wired to your DS, the stylus, that is, and it could sense where you wanted to move, I think
let me finish. You're not letting me finish, so you're confused.
Sorry.
I'm saying that because it got smaller... Like, you have to be super precise now because, like, that button that was reasonably big on the screenshot in the PC version is really small on the DS screen.
Right.
So the button's really small now, and you have to press on it exactly. So basically, the development team didn't take any time to say, oh, you know what? This button is really small now. Let's make it more lenient. Let's make it a little – let's make the area that you have to touch a little bit bigger, you know,
right.
because people might get frustrated. No, they were just like, oh, this button's small. Okay, that's fine. It'll be challenging. No.
I don't think that was their goal. They probably just said, okay, we're going to port this over as best as we can and come what may.
Yeah, shit's coming what may. But, like, yeah, I mean, and it's really sad because, you know, you think that maybe if they were given a little bit more time, they could have done it better, but no, it's missed. They have to get missed. I don't even know what the fucking situation was. All I know is that it's a terrible job. And the right. worst part is that my favorite part of the game was the music, and it's all
extremely hissy because it's compressed.
And it sounds like shit. Like,
oh man, I could dance to that. What?
That's what it was making use of the CD-ROM format. So the music was crisp and clear back in the day.
Right, right, right.
Now it's all hissy because they had to compress it, and I can understand some compression, but this was way too much. You
Not
know?
Even that. They could have redone
like,
it.
It's when I'm chalking. It's just whenever I chalk.
Yeah, but they could have redid this. I mean, the music part of it. They definitely could have. They didn't give no consideration to the remake of this game.
They basically, I really just think they took the original shit and they just dumped it in there. Like I said, there was an anniversary yeah. edition that came out. They could have taken shit from that because it looked better at the very least. Even if it didn't sound any better, at least it looked better. You could have taken that, but no. Anyway, yeah, 3.0. 3.0, 3 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
That's what I gave it. That's what I gave it.
Is that your review or?
It was my review on GameSpot, and they didn't fight the score. They're like, yep, it's pretty bad.
And good
then
shit,
I, and then I went back to Portrait of Ruin, which I played for like 2 minutes before my flight. So, but yes, I think that's all we've been tortured with. And wow, this has been what you've been playing has been going on for 40 minutes, way too long. Move on to the news.
That's a whole topic. What the hell?
We're at the news, and I think Al wants to read about Metallica!
Yeah, I suppose no. I do.
This is from Tor Thorsen, the voice of Nord from GameSpot.
Yeah. Earlier this year, Activision unveiled Guitar Hero Aerosmith Black.
Yay!
Coming out at the end of the month. The first installment in its billion-dollar rhythm series based entirely on a band. No sooner had the publisher announced the deal than speculation began to spread about what the second band-based Guitar Hero game would be. Along with Van Halen, the most mentioned group was Metallica, the legendary San Francisco Bay Area heavy metal quartet. Now talk of Guitar Hero Metallica is no longer a case of wishful thinking or idle speculation, it's a fact. When sitting through an SEC filing of Activision's over the weekend, Wed Bush Morgan Securities analyst Edward Wu,
woo!
Associate of the highly visible Michael Pachter, uncovered a gem in the section where the Santa Monica, California-based publisher discussed its upcoming game slate. Quote, in fiscal 2009, we plan to publish Guitar Hero on tour for Nintendo DS, Guitar Hero Aerosmith, Guitar Hero Metallica, and Guitar Hero 4 across multiple platforms.
Downloadable content.
Company said this report.
Okay.
The Activision's fiscal year ends March 31st, 2009, which means that the game will likely follow the holiday release of Guitar Hero World Tour.
How much royalties do you think Metallica is demanding from Activision?
All of it. Napster royalties. That's what they want. Yeah.
But I don't think that it's a Napster thing. Like, you know, it's not as serious as it was back then.
This is serious. They want their own game, no?
I don't think they want their own game. I think
Guitar
Activision
Hero
wants them
Metallica?
I think Activision wants them to have their own game.
Why? You don't think this was proposed by them?
No.
Okay.
Only reason being is that you know, they've just been working on their new album, and they agreed with Harmonix to put their first single on Rock Band. Mm-hmm. Before, like, when the single's released.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that. Like, what does this fucking thing say for, like, Metallica's agreements with Rock Band, because I could be wrong. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if it was you who said it, but I heard that it was like, oh, Aerosmith is now exclusive to Guitar Hero.
That is true.
But that was a separate deal from just Guitar Hero Aerosmith, right? It was saying, okay, now you're exclusive with us. Now put it on an Aerosmith game.
I think that they went hand in hand. Okay. Basically, Aerosmith
does not apply for Metallica.
Yeah, Rock Band, okay. Not Rock Band, Harmonix confirmed that Metallica's plans with Harmonix are still in place, and their catalog is still going to be available in Rock Band whenever it actually comes out.
Right.
So that's not a problem. I was just like really shocked that they would come out with something like this so soon.
Right.
Like, it's probably going to come out in January or February.
Mm-hmm. Downloadable content. I could have it tomorrow.
Yeah, you know.
I'm telling them right now. I know that's what their business model is, or whatever. They could probably make more money off of me if they gave me 3 songs today, and then three songs in 2 weeks, and then 3 more songs in 2 weeks. I'd gladly pay that fucking money because I'd have it now.
True.
Not only
it'd
that,
be, what, $6 a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. The development of a new game around Metallica, come on, that's a lot of money. I mean, like, okay, so we have a song. Let's give it to the people. They'll pay. I'll pay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Just a little bit of background information from this article. Mm-hmm. Guitar Hero Metallica will be the first time a game based on a multi-platinum selling band, which has become only slightly less famous for its anti-piracy efforts as its musical achievements, has made it to retail. However,
Napster!
It is the second such game to be announced. In 2003, Vivendi Games, which will soon merge with Activision, struck a deal to create a vehicular combat game inspired by Metallica's music. Unconfirmed reports stated that the project had been quietly canceled in 2005.
Twisted Metallica.
Napster. Napster. Napster.
What? I didn't hear you the first 20 times you said. What were you saying?
Napster.
Napster? Oh, Napster.
Guys, did I mention Napster? That's a funny fucking thing. Oh my God. Napster?
Is Amy Winehouse on Napster? Yeah, she is.
Oh, sure. No! Oh, God, that bitch. I'm sorry.
You're having such a reaction to her, but just wait till you click on the next link. I'll wait for you to click on that link so you can see the picture.
No, I did already.
Oh, you did? So yeah. Are you looking at this picture?
Uh-huh.
Of her fucking nappy Napster nappy weave?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and apparently, this is not news. This is not news, but Al found it funny, and I find it funny. Therefore, we must read this. A London boy has a copy of Donkey Konga signed by Amy Winehouse for some reason. Randomly. Why?
And she's happy.
She signed his bongos. And that looks like, you know, that's a little suggestive there.
Her tits?
No, like it's his Donkey Konga bongos, but it might as well be her tits because she looks really high.
She looks such a fucking dog.
Do you really think that's her?
She's a dog.
That probably is her.
I don't care if it's not her or her. I don't care. This woman is fucking she's a crackhead.
Well,
that's it.
I'll say
she
that,
looks like a crackhead and she sings like a crackhead. And I heard somebody say, the performance you put on like the show was like so amazing. I'm like, what the fuck were you watching?
Al, I would say this much: the fact that you asked that question, do you think that really is her? That shows how poorly she presents herself.
Yeah.
Because not even she can look like herself anymore.
That really is her. I mean, the image came from like one of those TMZ type of people's.
Where's her hips? That's all I'm saying. Where's her hips?
She looks so bad.
Salt to crack.
She looks salt to crack. She looks so bad that you don't think it's her. But here's what Michael McWhorter said.
Winehouse.
Look, I don't get what's going on here either, and yes, this is clearly not news, but apparently singer and controlled substance enthusiast Amy Winehouse will autograph whatever is handed to her when someone visits her London residence. A perfect example is that someone, a boy named Lawrence, we're told, knocked on Ms. Winehouse's door, offered a copy of Donkey Konga for the GameCube and a set of Bongo controllers, upon which she scrawled something. It says Lawrence big hugs or big kisses.
Hugs. Yeah, big something. And then Amy with some crack on it.
I assume she then went off to pick Frescas while googly-eyed. Ew.
Oh,
I will say this much. In an era where sometimes people are too snotty to give someone an autograph, at least she's high enough to give someone an autograph that doesn't matter who it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just being very, very, just appreciative of her fame. Here's what happened. 2 days went by. Who's knocking at my door? Nobody. Who's knocking at my door? Nobody. Somebody's at my door.
It's the wind.
Can you sign this?
Oh,
hi, can you sign this?
It's the wind. Read some comments. Read some comments.
Confirmed. What? Donkey Konga now with 100 times the amount of crack.
Yeah.
This one's really good. But will she sign my drugs or just use them?
Will she sign my drugs?
Have you played Donkey Konga while on controlled substances? It's hilarious. Let's see.
Have you ever seen a $20 bill on weed?
Wow, she needs a makeup artist stat.
Is that what they say? That's a comment?
That's not funny.
Yeah, that's a comment.
Yeah, that is a comment, but yeah.
Unfortunately, the tops of the drums were ripped open. Check picture.
here's a good one. Here's a good one. So why did the kid dress up like Amy Winehouse? Oh, wait.
That's great.
She looks like she's making a Miss Piggy face in that pic.
Oh, Troy. What's that take you, Lodi Hoof in marriage?
Why is she famous?
Let's move away from this disgusting shit. Yeah. I think Al found this one too. 100 games lined up for WiiWare.
Oh dear.
Oh boy. How much of them are going to be crap?
I don't know.
I've been giving the Wii a bit of a hard time lately as new WiiWare games slowly eat away at my storage space. But of course, this isn't anything at time. Blah 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 blah. Currently, there are about 100 games in development for WiiWare at various stages of completion. The main saving grace here is that there's all this bullshit commentary that I don't care about. The crux of this is, over the next, I don't know how many years, there are going to be 100 games that come out. Mm-hmm. I hate these announcements because it's like, okay, why do I give a shit? Xbox 360.
Well, no.
When the Xbox 360 came out, we've got 50 games that are slated to be out by the end of the year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Do I care yet? Is it going to mm-hmm. be Barbie Horse Adventures?
But we're doing something. Please stay. That's the whole thing.
The funniest thing is they don't even need to do that because, like, zombie moms are buying this shit out the wazoo.
Zombie moms.
Wii, I need Wii. I need Wii. Me buy Wii for kid. My Wii.
Wii.
They've basically gotten, in my opinion, to the PlayStation 1 point where they could throw garbage on the system and it would sell. And that's mm-hmm. really upsetting to me.
They have already.
It's upsetting to me from a software. It's I like it from an industry standpoint where, hey, okay, so video games are still becoming successful. They're still taking mm-hmm. up a lot of market share. They're still, mm-hmm. you know, moving forward. But mm-hmm. I hate it when I go into a store and there are like 20 used copies of fucking Happy Feet in the Wii shelf.
That means that 20 people bought it.
And like... That's what I'm saying.
No. 20. One person bought it out of 20. That's what it is.
For everybody who bought something great like Zach and Wiki, there are like 176 people who probably fucking bought Sega Bass Fishing.
I just love me some bass fishing.
Or Happy Feet. Or like, what was it? Like Carnival Games from Midway? What the fuck? 2K Carnival Games? It's really upsetting, you know? And
but you know what I don't see on the U shelves? We Play.
Ugh.
You know who has We Play?
Everybody.
Rob has We Play.
Fuck Rob.
No!
Rob, you got
no,
We Play.
No, traitor. Hey,
you know what he said, right?
What?
I want the Wiimote.
I got it for the remote.
Yeah.
I was like, it's Rob. Free remote. I'm like, no, it's a free game.
Wow.
You know, if he buys the fucking Wii remote on its own, like he can put that he basically has already paid for 1/3 of Ghost Squad. Why not buy Ghost Squad instead?
I don't know.
P-Play.
Zombie moms. I'm telling you, zombie moms. I'm moving on to this. Okay, Al, you can read this story because I didn't read this one.
Oh well, Harmonix is going to be teaming up with Q Entertainment. You know the people Ooh. Who make Luminous and Meteos. And all those other dance games.
Every extend, extra, extreme.
Yeah, they're going to be bringing Rock Band to Japan.
Oh.
With Japanese music.
With Q Entertainment's music. I think that would be really cool.
No.
Yeah, you know what's going to sound like? Woohoo!
Not really, but okay.
It's not Q Entertainment's music.
Oh, they're just...
J-pop.
Okay, so they're handling like the publishing or something.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay,
with the press release, and this is courtesy.
Yeah, don't read the whole thing because this is really long.
Oh, I know. And I can definitely cut the fat. Courtesy of
some
Mike
about
Fahey
Viacom, some about MTV.
Harmonix and them, they announced that they're going to team up with Q, which we already talked about, to bring that game Rock
Ray
Band
Ray
to
and
Japan.
M. Harmonix and M.
The studios are going to make the title, and yeah, it's going to come out in Japan. And it's going to have stuff from Japan as other stuff from Japan.
Isn't it amazing how much bullshit gets put into these PR releases?
Yeah. And then a whole bunch of shit about Rock Band, and then they talk about Q, and they talk about E4, which is good, and Rez, which is also good. Then they talk about MTV Music Awards, because MTV's a company that works with Harmonix. And then they talk about Rock Band again, and how they used it. Rock Band sold over 3 million units in North America and Europe, yet it's not available in some parts of Europe yet. And you can use other stuff like a mic and drums with the game and stuff. Yeah. And they say that Rock Band is a true music platform with over 12 million songs.
Yay!
Question? Is this a mission statement?
A what?
A mission statement.
No, this is a press release. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it to make it quick. Let's see. Rock Band came out in 2007, and it got 40 awards and stuff. And if you want to know more, just go to rockband.com and harmonixmusic.com.
If you'd like to know more, go to rockband.com and press 1 now. Moving on to boob jobs.
Yeah, I can read this one, too.
Yeah, please read this
Age
one.
Age of Conan girls get accidental boob job, according to Mike Fahey again.
Jesus.
As if Age of Conan subscribers didn't have enough to complain about already, now Funcom goes and forces involuntary plastic surgery on them. In a perfect happy world, no one would have been paying enough attention to their character's animated breasts to notice, but when certain players logged in after the latest patch and broke out the tape measure, they realized their enormous bust had been busted. AOC forum user Gust even went as far as to provide photo evidence seen above. No need to worry, though, folks, as Funcom promises things will soon be back to abnormal. And a quote from Funcom is, Funcom can confirm that some of the female models in the game have had the size of their breasts change. This is due to an unintended change in data that was introduced in an earlier patch, data which controls the so-called morph values associated with
morph data.
with whatever. The models and the size of their respective body parts.
Doctor, I'd like you to change the morph data on my areola.
We are working on a fix for this, and your breasts should be back to normal soon.
Okay, so you're Christina Ricci and Pamela Anderson. Oh, wait! Pam, you want your breasts back? We'll do it later. What the fuck?
Morph my areola. Oh, boy, here we go. Speaking of titties, it's a story about Itagaki. Yeah.
And his titties personified.
So let's see. Ninja Gaiden 2 director Itagaki quits Tecmo. Where's the one-up story I had for this? Where the hell did it go? Tomonoto Itagaki, the controversial game designer behind the resurrected Ninja Gaiden series and the various Dead or Alive games, has quit Japanese development company Tecmo.
Before the game comes out.
Like right before it. Just before it. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Before the start of development on Dead or Alive 4, Tecmo Co. Ltd. Limited had agreed to pay a completion bonus to me for this Xbox 360 title, which I produced. When the time came for the actual payment, Tecmo Company Limited went against its previous agreement and refused payment. President Yoshimi Yasuda chose not only to violate this agreement, but also turned defiant, telling me, quote, if you are dissatisfied with decision to not pay bonuses, either you quit company or sue it. So apparently he did both. In addition, he made demeaning remarks about me to my subordinates and colleagues, causing me significant emotional distress and worsening my personal relationships and work environment. Thus, I have no choice but to resign from Tecmo Company Limited. Itagaki also addressed gamers directly in a statement saying that he will never be able to make Dead or Alive 5. I truly feel sorry to all the fans of the games I have made. Ninja Gaiden 2, which will launch the 3rd of June, will be the last Ninja Gaiden I will create. I will also never be able to create Dead or Alive 5. I regret the circumstances that have forced me to leave Tecmo, where I had worked for so many years, and I regret the disappointment this will cause my fans. So, yeah, Al, do you have the response? You said there was a response at Tecmo Head, right?
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere here.
I think I added it at the end.
Here we go. I have it on Games Radar. Okay. Here we go. Tecmo says, Itagaki lawsuit is a huge problem. Going public was, quote, self-centered, end quote, says Tecmo in an official response. This is from Mike Jackson on Games Radar. And I'm sorry, the story before that I read was Randolph Ramsey from GameSpot Australia. So this story, the Games Radar story, says, Tecmo has defended its position in the conundrum over Itagaki's resignation and lawsuit against the company announced yesterday. The company says the, quote, unpaid completion bonuses Itagaki speaks of were an agreement of previous management and that Itagaki had been paid his dues in the form of annual bonuses. Quote, our company getting sued by this employee is a huge problem, end quote, said Tecmo, going on to claim that his reasons for making this lawsuit public are self-centered. What's more is this employee is filing this suit for himself and making it seem like he alone is responsible for the development of the game titles the rest of the Team Ninja staff has poured its heart into. But working on new game titles is ongoing, says Tecmo. Quote, Team Ninja is currently working on a lineup of new titles. All of Team Ninja is starting to work together on interesting new game titles, end quote. Not stopping there, the statement also apparently mentions Itagaki's sexual harassment suit, saying that internal investigations were continuing, despite having said previously that no sexual harassment had taken place. So basically,
they said they rebuffed it.
Yeah,
they
basically
said they rebuffed.
Before, so it sounds like before they're like, no, nothing happened, and now they're like, oh, you fucking asshole, yes, something happened. Yeah. Media, come back, we got a story to tell.
Well, not only that, I mean, like, the whole thing is, he said that he was granted these, you know, bonuses under previous management. What's previous management? What year?
I think 2005,
2006.
Whenever Dead or Alive 4 was done,
oh.
Which is 2006, early 2006.
Okay, so he stayed there for two more years. I mean, now why are you going to bitch? What happened?
Well, no, I mean, like, you're staying there, you should... He was probably fighting that this entire time.
Maybe not. I mean, like, you know,
I mean, we can't jump on him and say, why'd you stay there? Because it's like, maybe he was, like, if I'm working at a company, I will stay there because I will need to fight it. But at the same time, like, I've got work to do. So I'm not going to jump off.
No, I totally understand that. But you advise legal for that, and you get your answer within 6 months. I mean, like,
this is Japan. 2 years. This is Japan, though. It might be different over there.
Maybe. Okay. I'll give them that. Okay.
Because apparently in Japan, you know, people can lie in the witness stand like in Phoenix Wright. Tony, if you like we love the Phoenix Wright games, but I think if you ever play them, your head would explode because you're like, that's not how you're like, this is not how law is supposed to work. I don't understand this.
You know, you're right. Yeah.
But right. It requires those games require a huge suspension of disbelief. It's like, okay, these witnesses are going to lie.
Every last witness.
Now in this story, am I supposed to do the same?
No, you're supposed to expose the contradictions. So basically what happens is – sorry for the tangent. But basically you have –
No, it's okay.
You have evidence that you've gathered through typical adventure game investigations. Mm-hmm. So you get evidence and you get statements from people. And then when they go up on the stand and they start talking about shit and they're like, yeah, well, I was, you know, doing this and I saw this and that. And then you have evidence that proves otherwise. Like, no, this couldn't possibly have happened. So your job is to object and say, I object to that statement. It's a it's the contradiction to this piece of evidence. Like, for example, a lot of the times the first episodes always have to do with time and clocks. So, like, someone will say, like, the witness died at, you know, 1 p.m. We know it because his watch stopped at 1 when he was pushed. And then, like, there's a witness that says, yes, I was walking along the riverbank, and I saw somebody push him When was that? It was around 1:27 in the afternoon. And then you present the watch saying, objection, you couldn't have seen that because the watch was broken at the... Things like that. Which is not what a real lawyer does. It's not to say, you're lying here.
No.
It's just to, you know, prod and push and, you know...
No, totally understand that. Yeah, totally understand.
But I think you should play it anyway to see how long you can last.
I'm gonna play it, and when I say, "Oh my God," then you'll know what I'm playing.
But back on some more legal shit that will make you happy. This is from Ernest Cavalli from Game Life. Mm-hmm. The bar requests a 10-year disbarment for who? Jack Thompson.
Oh, yeah. And that's why he's going to New Zealand.
New Zealand. Let's read this. Let's read this gem of a news piece. After finding him responsible for 27 separate instances of professional misconduct, the Florida bar has requested that the controversial Miami attorney and anti-gaming and Two Life Crew activist Jack Thompson be disbarred for 10 years, according to Game Politics.
Yeah. Yep. I told you.
Thompson wrote a lengthy objection in response to the request, but after being barred from reading it aloud, Thompson reportedly stormed, "I would like to read this. Fuck you. Shut up." Storm. Stormed out of the building. Stormed out of here. Judge David Tunis did allow Thompson to submit his response to the court record, however. They probably won't read it. News of the Florida bar's request comes only a month and a half after the Florida Supreme Court forbade Thompson from representing himself in any further filings with the court. Some stories
I told you what happened. Remember that story we had where he sent the son in to buy Grand Theft Auto or... Manhunt 2. That's what it was.
Which is a shitty game.
Okay, not even to mention that he wanted to do this inadvertently going after Take-Two. After he was subpoenaed, he was ordered not to go after Take-Two. He wanted to do it inadvertently. My son just bought a game. It's Manhunt 2. Surprisingly, from Take-Two. I didn't know. I didn't know he was going for that. But he bought it.
He's totally going after Take-Two again.
Here it is. We had a question at that time of him not being able to go after everybody, and there was questions of him no longer going to Supreme Court. I knew he was going to be disbarred. Knew it. You can't go to Supreme Court. Supreme Court refused you. You're disbarred. That's it. You're fucked. Yeah, and I knew it at that time. And now we hear the news. And now New Zealand. Get ready for Jack Thompson.
He shouldn't have much of a problem there because it's neighboring country. Australia is already fucking banning Grand Theft Auto everywhere. So who knows if this is far behind of New Zealand.
He's going to be a crusader there. So
he's going to be a hero.
He's
a hero.
I stopped Grand Theft Auto. Shut up.
I'd like him to stop 90 minute cutscenes, actually. Look at that. There's a segue. Horror. Either last week or the week before, we read a story about there being 90 minute cutscenes in Metal Gear Solid 4. And the producer says that there are none, that it's a clarification that needs to be made. So, this is Ernest Cavalli again from Game Life. Says, responding to recent rumors that Metal Gear Solid 4 would include multiple 90-minute long cutscenes throughout the story, MGS4 assistant producer Ryan Payton told Kotaku that those rumors are, quote, a gross exaggeration. Quote, I'm surprised nobody has stepped forward to debunk this rumor. There are no 90-minute cutscenes in MGS4. The ending is long, but 90 minutes is a gross exaggeration. And here I thought gamers liked long endings. So, yeah. Ernest says, honestly, I was looking forward to the extended cutscenes if only because I adore Kojima's work. Yeah. I'm not.
90 minutes? Come on. I can't even watch a John Woo movie for 90 minutes. I can't. I can't. You know, so 90 minutes? No way. Why did they say this?
I don't know. I'm sure that it was one of the... Because here's the story. I don't think you were here that week when we were talking about it. For your benefit, the story was that Metal Gear Solid 4, the company behind Konami, basically brought in a whole bunch of journalists to preview the game and basically provide some feedback. And I think apparently, and I don't know if this is what came out of it, but last week there was a rumor that surfaced that, like, hey, you know, while you're playing the game, there are a lot of cutscenes and some of them are 90 fucking minutes long.
Whoa.
And it was still only a rumor. And so today basically he comes out and says that's bullshit. It's not 90 minutes long. The ending of the game is really long, but it's not 90 minutes. And honestly, yeah, I do like long endings because by that point I'm done playing the game, so I'll sit back and watch it. But at that point I was just like, 90 minutes? I was actually ready to be like, okay, you know what? I'll buy this as like a mixed movie / game. Whenever the cutscenes come on, I'll say, fuck this game, and I'll turn it off. And whenever I'm feeling in the mood to watch a movie, I'll turn it back on.
And not even that. It's like I think this guy was on barbiturates. He was depressed. He was slowed down. That's the longest 5 minutes of my life. It felt like 90. It's like, no game is going to put a 90-minute cutscene. What? Are you serious? Come on.
That's pretty funny, though. Now, to segue gracefully into this, because there's no way to do it, because I didn't arrange the agenda.
This is a 90-minute game radar, games radar blog.
Gene Snow from Game Life says, Ubisoft exec slams directionless PSP. Interesting. Ubisoft is calling on Sony to get its act together PSP-wise. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, Ubisoft's UK managing director, Rob Cooper, explains that Sony needs to do something about what he describes as a directionless strategy for the portable console. Sony needs to show us a bit more about its plans or to convince the publisher to invest lots more money into it, especially when you've got the DS selling at such a tremendous pace. I suppose it's almost too technical for the casual person, those that are buying the DS at the moment who want a few buttons and not a lot more. It's so simple what Nintendo has done. That's why I think Sony has gone a little bit too complicated. They've overspec'd it. The price is too high and they need to go back to the drawing board and start again. Didn't they say this like a year and a half ago and it's still doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sony would certainly benefit from finding a way to translate the console's recent success in Japan into an international phenomenon. Instead of completely competing directly with the DS, go for a more mature content that benefits from the blah, 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 blah. Pokemon is fine for the DS, but Monster Hunter probably wouldn't have worked so well with that console's tiny screen and weaker graphics. Okay, so someone else... Okay, so Chris Kohler says, to comment on this article, because he's the big... head honcho at Game Life. The PSP is done from a business model standpoint if customers aren't paying for content. I bet PSP 2 takes a hard look at digital distribution, although why do I have the feeling they aren't ready yet to slice out the brick-and-mortar retail? I want to know how well it's doing in the U.S. I think the last NPD reports had it somewhere in the middle, I forget. But it's still doing really, 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 really well in Japan. Although I know Tony hasn't touched...
That's because of Monster Hunter.
That's true. That's true. Monster Hunter ain't doing shit here. Tony, when's the last time you touched a PSP?
Fuck Sony.
He brings it back. He brings it back. Fuck Sony.
You know what? I will eventually buy God of War for the PSP and maybe Indiana Jones. Maybe. Just if I want to be amused. But like, other than that, fuck Sony.
Lego Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go on a tangent for that, how high are your hopes for that game, knowing that you did like the Lego Star Wars games?
No, I liked it because they were cute. They had no substance to
right.
it.
Right, no. But I'm saying because you like those games, how much high hopes do you have for Indiana Jones?
It'll be the same as the other game I played. I mean, like, I don't think they're going to put anything extra, you know, something to add to the game.
Right, right.
Or to the movie experience. You fucking dumb bitch. That was my dumb bitch. What the hell's wrong with you?
Still doing it.
She's boy. You're watching Footloose again, right?
Oh, just randomly, right. It's Footloose. Lego Indiana Jones and Footloose.
Oh, my God. Seriously, I am not looking forward to anything. Like, I wouldn't buy the Silent Hill for this game, for this system. I wouldn't buy... I'm not really looking forward to buying anything for the system.
You should
buy
a DS.
Dead. Yeah, I should. I mean, like, as a matter of fact, my wife is on Professor Layton and Brain Games.
Oh, so you do have it. You do have a DS in the household.
No. Her boss has it. And she encourages everybody in the office on their off time to play these games. So, you know, she plays them. And I got to say, I'll buy her all those games and Nintendogs because, you know, she's a dumb fuck. So I got to keep her.
What?
What? What did you say?
I love you.
Aww, I love you. I love her. Oh, God. Well, I gotta agree. I haven't seen anything coming for the PSP that I want. But honestly, like, I'm looking up at my shelf and there's like 10 games that I have that I haven't touched for it. So I'm set. Like, I will use it eventually. It's just that I've...
Well, what games in general? I mean, are
what
they
do
good
I have?
Games?
Oh, no, yeah. I think they're good games. I have Burnout for PSP, which I really like.
Great. Great game. Yeah.
There's, you know, there's Castlevania, which is awesome.
Oh, you told me about that. Yeah. That might be a great game.
There's a game, you probably won't like it because you don't like tactical RPGs so much, but Jeanne d'Arc is basically like Final Fantasy Tactics in the Joan of Arc universe, which is pretty cool. I like it.
Okay.
Gradius Galaxies. Gradius kicks ass. I like Luminous. Yeah. What else is there? There's Outrun, which is, you know, Outrun's nothing special, but it's my guilty pleasure. Kind of like Ridge Racer is, which I also have. Street Fighter Alpha 3, which is awesome on the PSP, if it weren't for the fact that the D-pad is shit, but it's still a really good game.
Right.
Valkyrie Profile, which I still have to finish, which I still think is awesome. Yes. And then Siphon Filter, which is it's cool. It's good, but, you know, it kind of suffers without the ability to have a second analog stick, but it's still good.
Right. No Metal Gear Solid?
I have Metal Gear Acid because I like strategy games, so I'm gonna this Metal Gear Acid 2, actually, the better one. I have the Mega Man powered up for it, and I have this RPG called Kingdom of Paradise, which I heard good things about, and I only bought it because there was a store that was going out of business and they were selling it really cheap and I felt bad for them, so I bought it. But I wouldn't have bought it.
You are a true patron.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bought it if I didn't hear good things about it. So I wouldn't, you know what I mean? But so yeah, I mean, I have a pretty healthy. It's okay. It's like what I always said about the N64. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I only have so much time. Mm-hmm. You give me 10 good games for the N64, and I'm set. I'm happy with the system, you know. And I still have to buy fucking God of War for this thing, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen too much coming out for it in the future that really, you know, maybe I'll throw it a bone and I'll join you in getting Lego Indiana Jones for it.
Well, I'm gonna get
and Patapon.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, Patapon, that's a good choice. That's a good one. See, there's good stuff in the past.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, these are games that I put on a backlog because one, you know, as I'm working now, I want to do something better, you know, and it, you know, it's like. Will I take this on my break time?
Right.
Will I be entertained? And, you know, quite honestly, I'm not. I really am not. The only entertaining game, well, I can't even call it entertaining. It was Ultimate Ghouls, Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh, yeah. You fucking pounded that game.
Yeah, that was a frustrating fucking game. And I'm like, I don't want to take this to work.
Right.
You know why? Because I'm going to be there on my break. Motherfucker. Fuck! What the? No bullshit!
Tony, is everything all right? Fuck you! I mean, yeah, it's fine, like, fine.
My heart!
I need another coffee break.
You know, that's the whole thing. And I just want to take a game to work that I'm not going to be like that with.
Take Burnout. And, oh, you probably finished Burnout, though.
No, Burnout was the same way.
How about Ridge Racer or something? That's relaxing, more or less.
Ridge Racer was really good. Not Viewpoint. What was the other racing game Wipeout. That bad.
Oh, I hate
bad
that game.
Bad game.
I liked Wipeout 3 on the original PlayStation, but everyone's raving of after every Wipeout afterwards, and I'm just like, I play all of them. I'm like, the only one I would still play is the PlayStation 1 version, and I don't even like that game anymore. Like, I don't like the series anymore. I don't see what anyone sees in it. You know?
I mean, it's a roller coaster ride if you could control it well. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. And this game was bad because you could not.
So Japanese. No. but we mentioned Lego Indiana Jones before because it had some relevance to this sad story here. LucasArts is confirming the layoff of 75 to 100 employees.
Wow.
I can confirm we had layoffs yesterday. They were in the studio. They had to do with where we are in our product life cycle, says LucasArts spokeswoman Margaret Groen. Okay, so let's see some details here. According to our sources, and this is coming from Kotaku, the author is Brian Crescente. According to our sources, up to 80% of staff has been laid off in departments such as production services, which includes QA and compliance, which is basically quality assurance, with jobs planned to be outsourced overseas. Cuts were also said to be made in development, with art and programming staffers being laid off. While Groen declined to talk specifics, she did say that Hirschman? Peter Hirschman is the vice president of product development, and he's being laid off. So she did say that his layoff was no longer with the company was a mutual decision. Our sources told us that the layoffs cut deeply into the developer's internal studio, leaving the company short-staffed. But Grown maintained that the company is healthy and remains committed to internal development. We are healthy. LEGO Indie was launched on 7 platforms to positive reviews. The Force Unleashed and Fracture are on track for this fall. We have a good slate of games, and we've got some good stuff going on in production. We are definitely committed to the internal studio. It's just, I don't have any real insight into this except to say it's just sad when you hear like a company that has such a history. Mm-hmm. LucasArts, all the Scum VM games, all the Scum games that they did, you know, and all this shit and the Star Wars stuff that they've always had. Just, it just hurts, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. They've got some shitty ass first person shooter called Fracture coming out. Oh, you can control the land. I don't know. So if you're looking to work for LucasArts, good luck, you know, because you probably won't get anything. It's going to be outsourced mm-hmm. soon. Here's a bit
it
of.
It sure will.
What'd you say?
It sure will. Yeah.
Here's a strange. Go ahead.
Sorry. No. No, no. You cut me off effectively. Goodbye.
Fuck you, bitch. This is very odd, though, and kind of annoying. GameStop launches TV network.
Ooh.
Not only is it launching a TV network, but it's teaming up with CBS, who, if you don't know, just bought out CNET, which owns GameSpot.
They also bought Ultimate Fighting. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Yay. MMA for life. So basically, so the dyslexia can continue. GameStop, GameSpot. I hope, like, this is just the conspiracy theorist in me going on, but I really hope they keep the whole GameStop empire separate mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. CNET. The last thing I want to see is GameStop.
CNET Games.
The last thing I want to see is GameSpot shit and Game Informer shit intermingling. I'm sorry. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see. And this is a whole thing about, you know, different entities shaking hands. Okay. And while this is not a game publisher, it's a game retailer. It's still kind of the other side of the fence. You know, when you're talking about this is a whole thing that, you know, got Jeff Gerstmann in trouble because he spoke his mind. There needs to be a separation of editorial and marketing. And mm-hmm. all the other shit that goes on. And while, mm-hmm. This is just me being paranoid, I don't know if this will even has any danger of happening. Any remote, you know, consequence comes out of this. Probably not. I'm just scared that, you know, something weird is going to happen with this thing. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe CBS really doesn't exercise that much control. Maybe they just own GameStop. Ah, see, I'm doing it again. Maybe they only own GameSpot for monetary purposes and they don't control it. I don't know. We'll have to see. In other random news, which I didn't hear about a couple of weeks ago until yesterday or a few days ago, is that GameTap cut off its editorial arm, which was only alive for less than a year. So
nice.
But any paranoid thoughts about this from any of you guys, or am I just stupid, which I am?
Well, they say that the GameStop network is only into stores, so I don't know what the hell it's going to be, but I guess it's to help keep people in the store. Or keep them coming.
I figured there's already GameStop TV, you know. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be the same thing?
Probably. I don't know.
Ugh. That's stupid. I don't feel like talking about the rest of the stories. Can we move on to the mailbag? Actually, no. Wait. I want to read this one. Sony trains future engineers with PlayStation Edu, which is a shout-out to Edu Buccaneer. This is by Mike Fahey on Kotaku. Let's see. This is something that Al found. Sony is always on the prowl for engineers and programmers with a familiarity with their hardware, but they haven't exactly made it easy to get your hands on development kit in the past. That all changes now as SCEA introduces the PlayStation Edu Buccaneer program, which focuses on familiarizing you engineers and programmers with PlayStation hardware. Al, would you like one for your birthday?
Oh, please.
No.
Fuck Sony.
What? Violent people. I'm going to play my PS3 after this podcast just to spite you guys.
Listen, have fun. The picture has a PS2 with the word tool on it. And, you know, I can't abide by that.
PS2.
I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, it's Japanese. What do you expect? Qualifying institutions will be given a chance to purchase PSP and PS2 development kits complete with the hardware, dev software, and software development kit.
Okay.
Along with demo codes and samples so teachers can illustrate how the hardware... I actually like this because, like they said, in the past, they've been really stingy with sending out the development kits.
Fuck yeah.
So people are just like, well, that was the whole you know, rumor going on when the PS3 launched. People are like, oh, I'm working on 360 because Sony isn't sending me shit. You know, they actually make the same remark you do, Tony. The last paragraph of this story says, interested parties can hit the link below for contact information. And if you are currently in a game programmer or computer architecture class, start bugging the hell out of your professor so you too can get your hands on a PlayStation 2 with the word tool on the side in big letters.
Not only that, people who programmed for the system said it was the hardest one they ever did. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, and it's not, you know, 360, accessible. Nintendo, accessible. PlayStation 2, challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so.
And I, 3.
I, okay, release it. Nobody will understand it. Good job.
Well, no, that's, well, no, that's not, that's the whole point of it. They're releasing it so people can teach it and understand it, which I think is a good move.
All right, it's going to become antiquated soon, so yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. I bet you it's not. I bet you PS2 will still be around 3 years from now.
PS2 is really? Still selling, man. It's still selling decently.
But the architecture of the PS3 is significantly different than this?
Yeah.
As far as programming?
It's different enough, but I think, like, I think the idea is that... Well, first
is
of all, they're also
introductory.
Giving...
I mean, like, that's the whole thing.
Probably.
Is this introductory to, like, everything else out there? Let me tell you something. If they said this was hard and this could teach me everything about the programming world as far as video games, fuck yeah, I'd buy it. Yeah. This is a starting point for everything else.
Yeah, it's unfortunately not as simple as that, but I get your drift, you know.
No, you get my drift. I mean, like, you know, this thing was hard to program for other people. Yeah.
It really should have been released. These types of things should be released earlier from everybody. And that's why I think that's why people have enjoyed programming for 360, because its architecture is so similar to just a PC. And people know how to program for PCs. That's what they make their bread and butter on. So it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, any other comments, or should we move on to the mail baggio?
Do it.
Fuck Sony.
Do it.
God. Do it now. Do it now.
Go on, do it.
We're at the bag of mails, and we've got a clarification mail, which makes you very happy. This is from Shifty Pete / Mark Worrell, who wrote in last week, and we were unkind to him, to say the least. Hello, TriCast crew. Thank you for reading my email on your podcast, though I can't say I was entirely pleased with its reception. Neither would I. I opine that you are Nintendo fans, not fanboys. There's a difference. Based on a lot of glowing talk I've heard on your podcast for Nintendo products and your reaction to the Wii Fit story.
And probably because we say fuck Sony.
Yeah, those are those two. At the time the story surfaced, but before there was a picture of the young girl in question, I saw a lot of defensiveness in Nintendo fans. Defensiveness in Nintendo fanboys, let me just say for the record,
good job.
Is an understatement. Okay, when you come across a Nintendo fanboy and you say the least bit of drop of you know, negativity, I'd be surprised if you walk out alive.
Wait, almost all of fan, not fanboy.
But I'm saying fanboys.
Okay.
Almost all of whom issued biting remarks, assuming that the girl was overweight. I apologize if I unfairly lumped you in with them. I listened to that part of episode 93 again and noted that you made frequent references to fat children. That we did. I also noticed that you did not seem to be referring to the young girl that brought this issue to light. So again, apologize for the error. Instead, the references seem to be to fat kids in general, which is odd because nowhere that I can find has anyone mentioned having a problem with a fat kid being called fat. only to kids who are not fat but are being labeled so by Wii Fit because of reliance on inaccurate measurements. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it wasn't an assumption that any child classified as fat by Wii Fit is fat, but a misunderstanding of the issue. The issue is children who are physically fit being labeled as unfit by Wii Fit. How many times do I have to read the word fit in a sentence? My English is going down the drain, and I only speak English.
Fit.
Not fat kids finding out that they're overweight by playing the game. And I agree, it's fucked up. They should not be called fat.
Fit.
Also, just to clarify, I never advocated the idea of warning labels on games. That, my friend, was my big issue. I just think that since Nintendo cannot accurately measure fitness with the balance board, it should not make in-game pronouncements as if it can. which I kind of agree with. I think they should make a like I said, I think they should make a patch that says, this is what we mean when we say this. You know, this may not be accurate depending on your age and your height and shit. So I think we're on the same page. It's just that I felt that he was calling us fanboys just because we were defending it. And I was not defending Wii Fit. I was defending games as a whole.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have to say? I have to say that they need to put up a sticker on the box that says, Wii Fit is not intended to treat any disease.
Oh.
Well, that's a disclaimer. That way, I mean, like that.
That way they can get away with anything.
I was gonna say something like he should stop watching Family Guy because you know, Peter said, you know, guys aren't fat, only fat women are fat.
Oh, shit.
You know, we're talking about too much fat here.
Fat.
Now is Wii Fit supposed to get someone in shape, supposed to get someone toned?
Honestly, I don't believe that shit for a second. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
You finish. Okay. You finish.
What I would think is that someone who is in shape that wants to have fun keeping themselves active, it will help. I don't think it's going to get someone like me, who is a little overweight, to be underweight. That's why I go to the real gym.
But how active is it? I just saw on the commercials, like, movements. Are movements going to help you?
I would say that it's not active in... Again, I'm not a fitness master.
No. Totally,
I don't know
understand.
About this.
You're not qualified to make that judgment.
But what
on your
right. But what it appears to me is that it works mostly on your balance. You know, that's why I use your balance and just your, you know, your internal movements and inertia. Internal movements make it sounds like bowel movements. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
your internal
it helps
like
you
your
do bowel movements.
Your inertia and everything. So while it won't make you like lose and burn fat, which is what I don't think is going to happen, it'll keep you. I guess it'll keep you toned and it'll keep you, you know, I don't know. It'll keep you balanced somehow. The same shit that like yoga does, except to a much less.
You know what? You could do the same thing: washing dishes, taking a shit. I mean, like,
wait.
The whole
but,
thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but this is
the
this,
whole
this
thing
is supposed
is
to make
could
it
move
fun.
At that time.
This is supposed to make it fun.
The whole thing is you're interacting with a screen, but how beneficial is that? There are no scientific studies of that. So I think, really, seriously, you shouldn't be too concerned with it right now.
Well, when you're washing dishes, how inclined are you going to be to stand on one leg in a yoga position?
Understood. But if your leg gets tired and you want to lift it up, you'll do that. I mean, like, you don't – this is not, you know, a exercise regimen. I mean, this should not –
No, it's not.
Be,
could I
marketed something? As, like, something that you should lose weight on, and you will lose weight doing.
There's
no proof of that.
Ooh, me, can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we've been waiting.
Wait. Let's go to – oh, yeah, Austin. Please talk.
It's Al's turn.
Dude, it's such a
Austin,
dick,
No. I know Al. I know Al. No.
it has been stated quite a few times in the past that
wait,
Wii
Austin.
Fit. Hey, Wii Fit is not intended to make you lose weight. It is intended
to make
you more aware about your fitness. It is intended to basically, and it was inspired by Miyamoto tracking his own weight. Or a BMI on a wall on a graph paper and said, let's make a game based on making people aware on how fit they are. So the primary focus is providing reward for effort to people who do perform the little mini games, because basically you unlock exercises and other things to do in the game. It also provides a graph of progress of your BMI to show how it changes over time so that you can be aware of, well, I did such and such and such this day and my BMI went up. And then I did such and such and such this day and my BMI went down. So maybe I should probably do more of what makes my BMI go down if that's what I'm looking for. And
so
then
when
it provides,
you start... Sorry, I'm going to go on. Sorry.
Finally, yeah. It provides a method of making other people aware of what you're doing in a slightly competitive fashion, because of course, if people are interested in, you know, trying to get the lowest BMI, then they, you know, will be able to see their other people's in the house, their progress and be able to do things. like that.
Good job.
I still think that it holds. I still think it holds the most merit as Sophina K said, as a drinking game.
So what I wanted to ask is, as soon as you start the game, does it produce a model, a chart for body mass index of which it will grade you on, and then you can feel sorry about yourself and play this game more?
No, it doesn't grade you. It just tells you what you are.
And wouldn't that be fucking horrible? I mean,
that would be horrible. But I mean,
well, it's telling skinny girls that they're obese.
You suck. You're fat.
It's kind of similar, like this whole big thing. The reason why everybody's all bitching about We Fit right now is because like, when you stand on that thing, and if it tells you you're obese, your meat gets all fat, and then it like grabs your stomach, and
that?
It's like, ooh.
Yeah, no, it does.
It has different levels, like it's you know, right weight, underweight, overweight, obese, or
whatever anorexic is.
And
holy shit!
Then you stand on it, and it measures your. You put in your height, and it measures your BMI based on how you're standing on the board and whatnot.
Get out! Oh
and
my god!
And then it'll go. And if you're obese, it'll go all the way to the top, and then your knee will get fat. And then you'll be like, oh, my God. Like, you know, the pretense is that.
I became bulimic. I became bulimic because of We Fit. What the fuck?
That's what they're concerned about. They don't want people in well, young girls going through eating disorders because
well,
We Fit told
believe
them that
they
they're
do
overbeast.
That.
Overbeast.
Overbeast.
I can't believe that. Are you serious?
That's going to be the title of the cast, Overbeast.
Very good. Thank you, programmer. That's serious? They do that?
Yes.
Holy shit. What the fuck?
Well, listen, I mean, if like, somebody's obese, then they're obese. I mean, think about it like this. Yes.
It's a game. It's not supposed to be obtrusive. It's not supposed to be intrusive either. It's
well,
not supposed to get in your way
obese?
Or in your
Can you put
Jesus.
Obese in a friendly way?
You may be heavy.
You might be heavy. You might be a little heavy. Put the controller down. Maybe you'll
Lovely
be a little lighter.
Obese. I mean like okay, so fine. We need to, you know, how do you word this? I mean, like, you know, the plain and simple thing is that I think that's a bit strict from a game you're trying to stand on. Think about it. You're 350 pounds. You're like, oh, shit, I bought a Wii Fit. I'm going to get myself in shape. And you step on it, it's like, oh, beast. What the fuck?
If you're 350 pounds, you should know you're fucking obese.
Yeah. I mean,
plus, they recommend that you don't, you know, step on the balance board if you're over 300 pounds, I think. Or is that Japanese?
No, it's an American. Now, look, I'm going to tell you, this is it. This is where they get it from. I'm looking at an official BMI chart. Yeah. It's actually called diabetes BMI chart. There's four categories.
Ooh, okay.
Underweight, healthy weight, overweight.
Yeah,
and obese.
I've seen this too. Yeah,
and it looks like
it.
Obese takes up most of the fucking chart.
Well, obese, anything takes up most of everything, space.
Well, not
like
only
seats
that,
on the bus.
They're judging height too.
Like the bitch
I mean,
seat in the taxi cab.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be like, you know,
obese
you
takes
could
up
be
a lot of things.
Two, if you're like 150 pounds at 5'2", or even 5', you're obese.
See, look, check it out. I'm just kind of judging from the last time, because the last time I went to the doctor, I was like borderline overweight, and you see me, right? Wait, check it out.
It was your
fucking
dress.
Overweight. On this thing, there's only 5'8" and 5'10", but I'm 5'9". Now, I'm 165, I think. So 5'8" and 160.
Fatty.
Hey. 5'8", 160 gives you a BMI of 24. The next block is overweight at 5'8", 170.
Hey, I'm at that borderline too.
And I find it hilarious because it's like, okay, let's see, 4'10".
Mm-hmm.
To be obese, you have to be 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that girl was, what, 4'11 or something?
Yeah.
The girl couldn't have possibly been 150 pounds.
Yeah, I think that shit made some kind of calculation mistake. Here's my question. This is not video games, so anybody who doesn't care, too bad. But
disclaimer!
I'm unfamiliar with this, so does it take muscle mass into account? Because
No.
So if you're a meathead, you could still be classified by the numbers as obese.
No. Because muscle always weighs less than fat.
It's the exact opposite. Muscle always weighs more than fat.
Yeah, you'll be leaner. You can't be 190 pounds at 6 foot. Actually, even 5'4", all muscle. If you are, you're a fucking freak.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is if you're like a meathead. Do you get classified by the numbers as obese, and do they have to say, oh, here's an exception because I always thought that, you know, in order to track obesity, you'd probably have to take a body fat percentage count before you could even say anything like that, you know?
I think that's why they go to the BMI. So that's a general way of just, like, explaining why you're fat. And then they'll go into, like, the what are those clamps that measure body fat?
Calipers, I think.
Tongs, I don't know.
No, tongs pick up food.
Right, and you can measure how fat you are by how much tongs you use.
I think it's calipers, Tony.
Caliper.
vice grips. Love
wow,
handles.
You're fat. You're fat. Let me toss a salad.
Have your salad tossed.
That's so bad. I'm looking at another BMI chart.
Is having your asshole eaten out with jelly or syrup?
Okay, so I prefer syrup. The calipers they put on different parts of your body to measure your fat index.
Your ass.
And if you're like, you know, 350 pounds at 4'5". And you're all muscle, you are a fucking man. Let me tell you.
Those men are even.
But the whole thing is, the BMI is just a general index for how fat you are. They don't measure, you know, with calipers or anything. It's just if you're overweight.
Right. So it's just by the numbers. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think you're overweight, that's what you look to. You don't look to calipers.
No, I mean, like, I know
do you want a caliper to tell you that you're, you know, 50% over fucking, you know, 50% fat? You don't want that shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's pretty obvious that if you're, like, a meathead, if you like, are a bodybuilder, you obviously know that you're not obese. I was just curious as to, like, how do people account for that on a technicality, or do they just, like, put an asterisk there and say, yes, technically he's obese, but he's not.
Wait, I have to look at
BMI is just for people that are overweight, and they see that chart, and they know where they are.
If you're fat, look at this.
Exactly. If you're muscular, you go to a trainer to do the caliper thing.
I gotta see something now. I'm looking at another BMI chart. Like, I looked at another one just a few minutes ago, and it had extremely obese on it. I was laughing about that. But it was
doctor's office. Yeah,
it was only a small part of it because it was a fraction of it. So it was like, you know, if you're 5 foot and 215 pounds. Yeah, you're extremely obese.
Morbidly abused.
Morbidly.
You forgot the other section which says heart attack. That's it. It's over. Done deal.
Is there a section that says holy shit, Jesus Christ?
It's probably off the chart at this point. But wait, now, the thing is, usually people who are like weightlifters and say they're short, like 5'4".
Right.
I don't think he's going to be in that, let's see, 175 to 215 pound. That's obese, according to the BMI chart. I think that he would be somewhere maybe in the 150 to 170. And even so, that's overweight. So
I'm obese in a muscular way. What the fuck?
I'm obuscular.
No. Obuscular.
No, serious. They have in general, I think when you look in this chart at your doctor's office, they are pertaining to people who are just fucking fat.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I am fucking fat. I'm not that fat. I really come into the point where I'm almost obese. You believe that? For my height?
From a technicality standpoint, you mean, right?
Yeah. At 160, at my height, okay, I'm almost obese.
What's your height?
5'7".
5'7". And at 160, according to this chart, you're overweight.
Yeah. There you go.
Overweight. Before you get to obese, you got to be 195.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Overweight. You believe that? I'm like overweight. Okay, yeah. So I can't move around.
I can't move around.
I didn't just run upstairs. I didn't like do my job. I was just eating a sandwich all day. Give me a fucking break. You know, that's a general view. But the whole thing is these people only have one guide to look at. Mm-hmm. You know, overweight people, one guide. Okay, muscular people, whole different chart. Okay, they're like, if you're like 5'10" and you're 120 pounds, okay, but muscular, you haven't been doing anything right. That's and then,
yeah, that's kind of
put
true.
In steroids. Yeah, yeah, it's like, okay, that's a different subject
I
altogether.
I break you.
Anyway, what's next?
I don't know. The next is the end. The next.
Respect to Shifty Pete for clarifying. Thank you for writing back in.
Thank you for giving us a whole new conversation on BMI.
Let's see. Housekeeping. Housekeeping? You want me put mint on pillow? What do we have to do?
You want me to jerk you off? Want me to give you sucky, sucky?
Holy shit. They have a cat. Wait. Before we go into housekeeping... I just looked at BMI on Wikipedia, and these are the categories. Yeah. Severely underweight.
Oh, Jesus.
Underweight. Wait. No, don't laugh to the end.
You got to explain. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Severely underweight.
Uh-huh.
Underweight. Uh-huh. Normal. Mm-hmm. Overweight. Obese. Mm-hmm. Clinically obese. And... morbidly obese.
So morbidly is actually a rating there. As I got wait. Is there a citation needed note there since it's Wikipedia and Wikipedia is fucking full of fake shit.
No, this is an official Wikipedia. No kind of this needs improvement.
Wow.
This is cited.
Wow.
From the WHO, World the Health
whole,
Organization.
From the WHO.
Whoa.
For the who?
The who?
WHO, the who?
The hoes.
The fools. Okay. Housekeeping. Don't forget to...
Wait. I have a question.
Yes.
What the hell? Clinically obese, you got to go see a doctor, and he's like, oh, shit, you're fat. What does that mean? Clinically obese. What? No, but clinically obese. Wait. Hope's gonna add.
It means by the guideline.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, we went through that. Yeah. Obese. Yeah. Oh, okay. There's like obese, clinically, and then morbidly. What's clinically?
Same as obese.
Same as obese. Thank you, Dr. Pook.
Damn, I was hoping that they would have a. I was hoping that they would have a Wikipedia entry for clinically obese, but they don't.
Wait, it just directs back
hold
there.
On. Hold on,
nah,
guys.
It's
hold on.
Just a search.
Oh,
obesity.
Yeah, but no. I think
obese
clinically, I think
obese means overweight, right?
Yes.
And clinically obese means obese by definition of the American Medical Association. Is that...
She may be right.
And morbidly obese is by their guidelines also. I know because Lori brought me in a chart.
So I guess what overweight really means is you might be a little overweight, but we're not going to classify you that yet.
You're not you're not fat. You're just big boned.
You just wait, big boned. Yeah,
I'm festively pimp.
You know, in general, it comes down to if you're fat, you should know it. That's it. That's
you know
it.
I'm fat. I'm fat.
Yeah,
you know it.
Don't care about morbidly obese or overly obese or clinically obese or like you're a fucking fat obese fuck. Yeah. If you're obese, you should know it.
If you can't last 3 minutes on a treadmill, then you know you're in trouble. whether you're fat or skinny.
Yeah.
If you huff and puff when lifting butter to put it on your bread, you're fucking obese.
Man, this butter's heavy. I love me some butter.
Oh, God. And with that... Austin,
I
want to
play
your
Wii
show,
Fit.
You end it.
I want to play Wii Fit. I guess we'll do some housekeeping now. Everybody, go listen to Game Slaves Radio.
Because I'm obese.
On gameslaves.net.
Because I'm obese.
You can also find them on iTunes. The podcast name is Game Slaves Radio. And it looks like Hillary Clinton has just endorsed Barack Obama. So don't forget.
Because he's blackly obese. That's
blackly
wrong.
Blackly obese.
See, that's wrong. See,
yes,
you guys.
You're a dickhead.
And Hillary's obese by a fair. Also, go check out drfishypants.com. The word doctor is spelled out, so that's D O C. Tore fishy pants.
You tore your fishy pants?
And he's not obese because he eats fish. That's
Listen to Al play guitar.
Oh no.
Maybe.
On what is your website?
He sucks.
I'll save it because I need to get my guitars fixed anyway.
Oh well, there you go.
L M 2K .blogspot.com.
Yo, you better move some fat rolls so you can speak a little clearer.
And then Slunksworks for TalkXbox.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can read his stuff there.
You could? Or you will?
Wait, hold on. Take a breath, because I think you're running out of
breath. Take a breath!
I was going to say a breather, but that's not what I'm asking. Okay, continue. I think you've got enough to finish it all. Bring us home.
I think you do. Yeah.
For Tony.
What?
I said, I gotta go to the shitter.
All right, I'm back legitimately for Tony.
Yeah!
Holy shit, that hurt. For Al. What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that?
We hate fat people. And we don't even know it. We are so fucking fat racist. Why?
I have been your host, Don Dildy.
Donde el gordo?
Yeah, you are a fat racist. Stop your shit.
Donde el gordo?
Alright, that's it. We're out of here.
Man, this butter's heavy. I love me some butter. Oh my god. Man, this butter's heavy. I love me some butter. Oh my god.
Man, this butter's heavy. I love me some butter. Oh my god.